All right, I'm back now. I'm talking to Peter Ellis. Peter's from Bendigo, Emu Creek Bush Band. He's also put out a series of CDs called Quadrille Mania, and we're talking, I guess, mainly about the last one, but about Quadrille Mania generally. Whereabouts did you find these tunes? Where are they danced?
All right. Well, as I mentioned earlier, I travelled around with the Widdowbin Old Timers over a 20-year period, and I did get to meet old dance musicians and so on, and I'd ask them what tunes they had for this and that. And quite often they were the standard, you know, Swanee River Red Wing. But you'd get occasionally a real old one that was a real beaut. The Old Timers themselves had several. A couple that they got from Daisy Sutton. So, you know, you might find a set tune or a polka mazurka or something that like that, or a varsity in it. It's called Daisy's.
Right, yes.
So some from there. Harry McQueen I mentioned before, and I got quite a lot from Harry, and in turn Harry from his older accordion player, Bill McGlashan. And but I've been as far afield as I go to Nareal each year regularly, as you know, and I
see the dancers
there. And the Nareal band have quite a number of their own tunes that developed in that area. And we mentioned the Mill Belongs to Sandy. But they've got others, McGregor's March, which they called Paddywhack, and they took the name. It's nothing to do with the Irish jig, Paddywhack. But Beat Clipple, I said to her one time, where did you get the name Paddywhack? She said, it's the words we used to sing to the tune. I said, oh, what are they? And she whispered, Paddywhack, Paddywhack, my blue britches, Paddywhack, Paddywhack, my arch itches. So... And a lot of the old musicians, that's how they remember tunes, just by the name of the words rather than the actual name of the tune.
That's, I guess, what we call the oral tradition.
That's right.
Passing on by word of mouth.
That's right. I got several good ones from up around Monangatang and Nia, from the Thompson brothers there, Frank Thompson, late Frank Thompson. Several Lancers tunes from him. And his brother had one which we use on this CD in the Grand Chain, and it's called... I threw more whitewash over the woman, old woman, than I did over the garden wall.
So there are quite a few areas where these dances still existed?
Well, within living memory, certainly. But you would be lucky to find those old tunes played anymore, because you've moved on from the old concertina and accordion and fiddle players to your ballroom bands of the 30s, where you've got sort of saxophone trombone combinations, and they tend to use more the popular tunes, or even foxtrots. You know, they'll play Rollin' Girls, or When the Red Robin Comes bobbing Along, or, you know, the more popular tunes.
Yep.
So, and actually, that's one reason why the quadrille survived so long, because they could adapt the music of the day.
So they
didn't suddenly become old fashioned.
So, to get to these original tunes, was it much of a search?
It's not much of a search, I guess, if you're a music player and a dancer and you go around and you can relate. If you just come in as somebody green and they don't know you and you're just talking, it can take a bit longer maybe, but if they know you because you play an instrument and...
Yeah, muso sharing idea. You're sitting there playing a few tunes and it comes up, oh, do you know such and such a tune, or have you heard this, or, you know, a person who... I mean, I went through this trying to track down concertinas in the 70s and follow this lead, and they knew a bloke who lived out the back who had one and it was...
Well, actually, meeting Frank Thompson at Monangatang, I'm a field naturalist. I've been interested in natural history for a long time. And they had a convention of field naturalists from all over Western Victoria at a little place called Appin, up towards Kerrang. And in the evening, we just sat around the campfire, and I got my squeeze box out, and it was Frank Thompson's son was there, Jack Thompson, and we played a few tunes on the squeeze box, and... I also had the Widdowbin Old Timers tape going and playing the tin whistle along to that. And Jack said to me, I said, my dad used to play all those old sort of tunes, you know. And he was speaking as if it was a past tense sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I happened to say to him, oh, what a pity. I said, I would have loved to have met him. He said, oh, the old man's still alive.
Yeah, yeah.
And that led to the next thing. And so, you know, in a few weeks' time, I was up at Monangatank, met Frank Thompson, and he just went through all of these wonderful old tunes and played them. And then he said, oh, do you know, there's an old quadrille called the Speedy Quadrille. And that's on this CD
too. Right, yeah.
And I said, no. And he said, oh, well, I'll show you how it goes. We ended up with four stumps.
Right.
Out in the backyard, moving these stumps around, and me trying to work out what he was doing, but we did manage to get that one going. And but it was a quadrille that they made up in the 1930s. They had a Dr. Speed who was leaving the district, and his nickname was Speedy.
Right. Yep.
So they made this quadrille up
out
of one figure's a bit similar to the Eightsome Reel, and it was an area that was settled by Protestant Irish. And I think there were a lot of older traditional dances, maybe, and music that were performed in that area. So they sort of picked a bit of this and that out of everything and put it together, and they came up with this Speedy Quadrille.
Because what I remember from my introduction to folk music in the 70s was that there were a couple of pockets where a lot of these old dances were still performed. And what sticks in my mind is going to a national folk festival and having an argument over whether we were going to do the Narial version of a particular dance or we were going to do the Canberra version of a particular dance, because they were passed on by word of mouth, and as a result there were slight variations
to
the way in which they were done.
That's right. Well, of course, in modern times we've got the facility of being able to travel around, and that wasn't as easy in the old days. And so the versions tended to be regionalised or even localised sometimes from one side of town to the other.
Right.
And you simply did as in Rome. You followed what the locals did or what the local MC led off. But now in the folk scene, because we're collecting stuff from all over Australia in some instances, but certainly all over Victoria, we're suddenly confronted with the fact that we've got several versions of something, and so then we sort of need to nominate, you know, which one we're going to do.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with this project because I believe that we are running out of... We're lucky enough to be able to collect our own folk heritage, but we're rapidly running out of time.
Oh, very much so.
And I think that a project like this that you're doing, I think, is of enormous value. To me, it brings across to people that there is quite a strong heritage that we've perhaps ignored because of the lack of communication. And I certainly know that what you've discovered and found over the years, and I've known you, for about 30 years now, and you've always been active and involved in this, and you always seem to be coming up with new, old things.
That's right.
That have been around for such a long time.
It's amazing, some of the tunes that you come up with. They're great tunes. And I think Australians generally don't realise today what a tradition they had. But there was a time, of course, when... Well, even when we didn't have radio or wireless, as I used to call it when we were a kid, where really every district, every farm, they had their own musicians, you know. I mean, they weren't all good musicians. Each district would have so many musicians, there might be one or two that were really very, very good. But people made do with what they had, and they had a damn ball.
And it was a Saturday night thing that you got up and performed.
Yep.
That was the entertainment.
That's right.
And some of these places that we've talked about, like Narial, I mean, they've had a Saturday night for as long as people, a Saturday night dance for as long as people can remember.
That's right.
I noticed too with your CD that it also comes with what seems to be a set of instructions for the dancers.
Yes. It's basically the call. It's a brief description. It's enough to help people that are already familiar with them. We will be bringing out a book further down the track which will have the full description of each of the figures. But if people aren't sure, they can access, say, through libraries, Shirley Andrews' book, Take Your Partners, and 200 Dancing Years, which we both co-authored for the Bicentennial. They've got sort of more comprehensive descriptions. And Shirley Andrews and Lucy Stockdale have also produced a series of videos which show some of the versions of the dances that are in this sort of series, and the details are in the booklet there how to get onto
it. That's good. So where do you see it going from here? More research, more books?
Oh, well, I've certainly got another book. I've just retired.
Yes.
And I'm about to work on probably the book of books, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Of my work.
Yeah.
That's what I'm moving into.
More in the quadrille area?
This will be across the board, the musical instruments that were played, the dances, that's the couples' dances as well.
Yeah.
The older, what I call the country dances, that is the old word for what we would call the Virginia Reel, or, you know, the Waves of Tory and some of those. Yeah. So I'm going to cover the whole broad spectrum there.
And the dance movement is still strong in and around Australia, do you find?
Well, it's as strong as ever in the folk scene, and I'm reasonably convinced that it will be the folk scene that will continue to nurture the tradition. I'd like to say that it's strong in the country, it isn't.
Yeah.
You've got all sorts of influences, I suppose, the last of which is the setting up of poker machines in Victoria, so that... dancing in the country halls has pretty well died.
Yeah, the electronic distractions have taken away from...
And you've got other things like once upon a time everybody went out as a family in the country, but now the younger ones have got their own cars or whatever, they head for the local disco in town.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got older people that are trying to keep things going, but because they're not...
Yeah.
And remember, these dances were all danced by young people.
Yes, yeah.
So the older people often can't handle the quadrilles and the polkas and things anymore. So they've gone over to a more modern form of old time dancing that's called Nouveau.
Yeah, yeah.
Suits them better, but it's a more sophisticated and flamboyant type of dancing, and in my opinion, less social. You know, the simpler dances where you got up and had a bit of fun and you interacted with everybody. To me, that's social dancing, and that's what these older dances were.
Well,
you know,
I guess for someone who really doesn't know them, it's a bit like a progressive dance, isn't it? In that you tend to meet most of the people on the dance floor through
participating.
It's not a couples.
No.
I've been to 50-50 dances in the last 12 months, and it's still very much a couples thing, except for occasionally when they might throw in, a progressive barn dance. Whereas with the quadrille and the folk dancing, because it's set dancing where you've got at least another three couples
as well as you that you've got to interact
with.
And one of the lovely things you'll still see if it is danced in the country, and as I said, the Alberts has tended to survive, and the Waltz Cotillion, you'll find that when the dance is finished, usually the four couples will go around and thank each other.
Yeah.
Because you've participated with each other.
It's the courtesy thing. It probably flows on from the honouring your partner as part of the
Whereas
dance.
If you dance a Pride of Erin or something, you don't tend to do that. You might thank your partner, thank you.
Yeah.
But you
break off and move away because you're not working in that group.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. How would you like to see quadrilles developing then and dancing developing?
Well, I would like to see them revived. I don't quite know how in the broader term we do that, but it's a sad thing that Australian culture, history and culture, barely rates, if at all, post probably once you get into the higher secondary levels, it's not there. And you know, that would be one way if the whole
getting
education
into
system could get it into the schools and that sort of thing.
Well, we might take a break there, Peter. Can you suggest to me something that I can play now?
Yes. There's a set on there called the Waltz Quadrille, which is the first set in waltz time, and the third figure, John Meredith and I collected that from a marseille over at Kimber in South Australia, and that's exactly 10 years ago. It's a beautiful old waltz. We called it Marseille's Polonaise Waltz because she used to play it just for a circular waltz at the end of the Polonaise, which is a grand march for dancers over there. It's one of John Meredith's favourite collected tunes, and you'll realise John passed away
just
a few months back, and unfortunately the CD came out just after he passed away, so he actually hasn't heard it. He would be thrilled to think that we've actually used that
That's
for the Waltz Quadrille.
All right, let's play that then, and we'll have a break.
Okay.